Good morning. Welcome. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast, the latest Indiana farm news, markets, and weather, too. I'm Andy Eubank on the 21st of February, 2025. The HAT podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. They're online at ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller have the news today, including Eric from Washington, D.C., with Indiana Senator Todd Young on the avian flu issue and what Indiana FFA is doing for one member here in the state. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says sunshine and cold the next 2 days across the state. And yesterday, soybean futures, a strong session. We'll have the settlements and Carl Setzer market analysis on the HAT Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Senator Todd Young responds to the bird flu outbreak and shining the spotlight on an Indiana FFA member from Hamilton County. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today, brought to you by Keystone Cooperative, a proud supporter of the FFA and the many opportunities it provides the next generation of agricultural leaders. Well, you've been hearing a lot lately about bird flu. Now that it's hit a dozen major commercial poultry farms across the state since the beginning of the year, the virus is having a major impact, not just on egg and poultry prices, but also on Indiana's poultry producers. That's why U.S. Senator Todd Young from Indiana says he's encouraging USDA to enhance its response to the outbreak. Our Eric Pfeiffer joins us now from Washington, D.C.
I'm with Senator Todd Young, and you just sent a letter to USDA along with Joni Ernst, and we're just talking about what's happening with high path avian influenza. It's a major concern. It's spreading throughout Indiana. What is the letter all about? What do we have to say?
So we're opening up not only communication with the administration, but encouraging the administration to work with our farmers, to work with our legislative delegation and tackle this problem. We want to make sure that there's no interruption in vital services at USDA or other government entities in response to avian flu. President Trump was elected in part on a mandate to tangle with and control inflation. And nothing is a recipe for more elevated prices when it comes to our egg market and poultry market than this avian flu.
In speaking with them, they've said this is our number one priority. Secretary Rollins has come out and said this. Obviously, this is a major concern of yours as well. You just felt like the Senate needed to get involved in this process as well and just provide this roadmap?
Well, you know, my constituents, we've heard from a lot on this. Rank-and-file producers, some public health officials, and even some consumers, you know, owner of restaurants and so forth, have said, hey, what are you doing on this? And so even though we had a certain measure of comfort that this is on the radar of Secretary Rollins, who just assumed this position and I supported at the head of USDA, I think it's very important people know that we're engaged and that we are doing our oversight responsibilities as we're elected to do.
Once again, Eric Pfeiffer reporting from Washington. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, as we celebrate National FFA Week, we thought we'd shine the spotlight on one student who says that Indiana FFA has helped him develop his leadership skills. Dupree Henry is a sophomore at Hamilton Southeastern High School in Fishers, and he told me he was encouraged to sign up for FFA by one of his teachers.
My teacher in my Principles of Agriculture class, Mr. Yance, he really encouraged me to join FFA just because it offers so many different opportunities for me, and it allows me to build skills that I can take with me outside of high school.
And even though Dupree does not come from a farming background, he says that FFA has broadened his perspective a the ag industry.
I've learned a lot about the daily life of various agricultural fields, which allows me to have a greater sense of appreciation for people involved in agriculture. In our ag classes, we've also learned about different FFA contests, which has introduced me to the various contests that we offer at in our FFA program.
In fact, Dupree says that he enjoys the public speaking competitions hosted by Indiana FFA, which have helped him sharpen his leadership skills.
FFA offers you skills that can be applied anywhere, not just in agriculture, but in other fields if you want to go into agriculture as well. And that is really a unique opportunity, as it's such a diverse club that is able to incorporate all those different career paths for different students.
Check out more of my conversation with Hamilton Southeastern FFA member Dupree Henry at HoosierAgToday.com and the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. No major changes in thought process here. Cold Canadian high pressure sits over the top of us today. That means we should see good sunshine to finish the week for your Friday, but it is going to be a bit chilly, and it's the same story tomorrow. Northwest flow dominates our pattern, and so yes, we are cold underneath the center of this Canadian high. We get on the backside of it for Sunday, and that's when temperatures start to not be as cold, and we're just flat out mild Monday, Tuesday of next week. The key, all through the next 5 days, we are dry, no frontal boundary, and honestly, good sunshine throughout. So these are going to be great days. Now we'll definitely see snow melt as we go into the first part of next week. Monday and Tuesday, it's going to turn sloppy very, very fast, but it is going to be mild. Got a slight clipper system that wants to move through midweek, the second half of the week next week. Not a lot of precipitation with it. I do think we see an increase in cloud. Big wind shift, though. Northwest flow dominating Wednesday afternoon next week, Thursday, Friday. So temperatures pulling back a bit. And I think we keep a little bit of a chill around through the weekend of the first and second. If you're looking for our next significant frontal passage, honestly, I don't see that coming together until we get into that first full week of March. Wednesday would be the 5th. That's sometime I'm looking at. System coming together in the Great Plains, trying to kick out to the east. If it does so, it's going to be moisture laden with rain. Could see anywhere from a 1/10 to 1 inch of moisture out of that. But we'll have to see whether it still wants to hold together by the time we get there. We may do a fairly good job of drying our atmosphere out here. That's the other part of this. Yes, we get greasy. We get muddy with all of this snow melt and the ground thawing, but evaporation rates, I think, especially Monday, Tuesday, are going to be pretty stout, so we may dry things down quicker than we otherwise would be thinking of when we open up mud season. So lots to work through here. We'll give it another look as we get into next week. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn higher, beans though, the strong one on Thursday. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Thursday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. I'll have the final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis, and I grab that at the end of the session from Carl Setzer. He's with Consus Ag Consulting. Markets were higher Tuesday, lower on Wednesday, and the seesaw week continues with a bump in the soybean and corn markets on Thursday. And Carl, we certainly saw some help in the bean market from the entire bean complex. What else helped push these markets back up to the high side?
We saw a little bit of a bump in risk premium buying in corn and soybeans today, as well as just some firming global markets. And a new story that broke on Paraná, Brazil, that they would be taxing their exports at a rate of 16 cents per bushel on corn, 33 cents per bushel on soybeans, to generate revenue is what the government is telling us. The market quickly asserts that maybe the crop isn't there and they don't have the inventory to export. So either way, it looks like we may see a reduction in Paraná's exports. They're a pretty big producer, 13% of the Brazilian corn crop, 16% of the soybean crop come out of Paraná. This brought a few more spec buyers to the market today. and a little bit of technical trading in both markets too. Corn, a little bit more buying out in the deferred months. Soybeans buying on the front months as we saw some technical shifts starting to take place. March options expire tomorrow, and we are 1 week out from first notice day on the March futures, getting a little bit more positioning in the market. Like you said, Andy, soybeans led the market higher today. News out of India that they would be canceling some of their palm oil import purchases they have on the books, likely in favor of cheaper soy oil, gave the complex support. Also on the meal front, seeing some concerns in China. China reporting extremely low meal inventories, even some feeders starting to struggle to get meal in China. This may lead to some quick ship purchases out of the United States into China, as our meal is considerably cheaper than South America's right now. Wheat was a little bit of a laggard today. We continue to see that back and forth technical trade in the wheat complex. A little bit more pressure coming today, though, as we saw some weather risk premium leak out of that market. The cold temperatures moving in from the plains expected to be partially offset by an adequate snow cover. Also, a little bit concerning on the wheat, the record large crop coming out of Australia likely will limit demand for U.S. offers in the global market.
Back in South America, Argentina, very, very hot there. Did that play a role in the market at all?
It really didn't. It offset news that came out of the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange today that they had improved the country's soybean crop rating 2%, had bumped up the corn rating by 3%. But you're right, forecasts for upper 90-degree temperatures to move through Argentina for basically up to the rest of the month. We could see these elevated temperatures before rains break at the start of March. We'll put a little bit more pressure on that crop. Sources in Argentina continue to walk back their production estimates. That's becoming a little bit more of a story than the delayed soybean harvest in Brazil.
Carl Setzer, Contas Ag Consulting. His number is 989-506-1587. It's the Hat Market Review and the final numbers from Thursday trade. March corn, 498, up a half cent. May also up a half, 512 and three quarters. July ends at 516 and three quarters, up a penny and a half. 13 and three quarters up on the March beans, 1045 and a half. May 1063 up 14 and three quarters. And July 1077 and three quarters, up almost 14 cents. Down 6.5, March wheat, 585 and a half. The meats down all day. April live cattle, 193.80, settling 97 cents lower. April lean hogs, 88.52, down $1.22. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.